is that whenever you had a young man who what we call was a specimen, you know, he walked in and, you know, he looked like the rock, you know, chiseled, big, strong, and fast. And some of those guys that came in, they were big, strong, and fast, but you know what? They couldn't play. And we had an expression that we used, and the expression that we used was, potential will get you fired. That if you see all these good-looking kids out on the field, and you can't win a football game with all these kids, then you don't need to be coaching, because you're not getting out of that individual the potential that's in them. I come to tell you this morning that we serve a God who's able to get all the potential out of you. That you might not have a lot to offer, but what you can offer, God can work with it, and God can develop it, and God can make you what He wants you to be.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the first half of A Diamond in the Rough, part. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Diamond in the Rough, part one.
Philippians chapter one, and I hit this verse a couple of weeks ago, and I want to go back and get into it a little bit more this week and next week. So we're going to begin to touch on it this week, and then we'll finish up next week. But the verse that we're going to look at today is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And here the Apostle Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And the subject I want to speak to you about this morning is entitled, A Diamond in the Rough. A Diamond in the Rough. Amen. Just wanted to say something because I did get a couple emails and concerns, and those of you who emailed and had concerns, you'll know what I'm talking about when I make this statement. And the statement that I want to say is that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. That you don't work your way to heaven. You don't do good works to get into heaven. But when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. And that's what's going to get you there. Ephesians 2:8-9 lets us know it's by grace that we are saved, and that through faith, and it's not of works. It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So I just wanted to say that for the record, that we truly, this church believes that salvation is through Jesus Christ, and when we stand in glory, that we'll stand there, not justified, as a songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And as Forrest Gump would say, that's all I have to say about that. All right. A diamond in the rough. I didn't get a chance to get the notes this week, but I'm going to continue this message next week. So I'll have the notes because I promise you that you would be able to put the series from Philippians in your notebook. So we want you to be able to do that. A diamond in the rough. This expression is a figure of speech, and it refers to the crude initial shape, which was, all right, we got some problems here. Let me go on back to plan B, right? All right, we'll move to plan B. All right, that referred to a diamond, that when it was in its rough stages, that before the cutter actually began to chisel away and to grind away and to polish it off, that a diamond in the rough was something that had potential. It didn't look very nice, but it had the potential of being something beautiful. And as we use this phrase of human beings, we see that it refers to individuals who have qualities of greatness, who need to be refined and who need to be molded and shaped in order to draw those character qualities out of the individual. In the verse that we are looking at today, oh, praise God, the Apostle Paul lets us know that as a child of God, that you are a diamond in the rough. That when God looks at you, he doesn't see a lump of flesh. That when God looks at you, he doesn't see an individual who is worthless. As a matter of fact, God thinks so much of you that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that you might have eternal life. That's how much God values your life. But yet and still, we see people walking around today that have low self-esteem, low self-image, and God is trying to get you to the point, not where you become egotistical and where you can lift up yourself and say what a great person you are, but God is trying to get you to the place where he draws out all the potential that's in you for his honor and glory. A diamond, that's what you are, a diamond in the rough. And Paul says here, and being confident of this very thing, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Two very interesting words in here. The first word is begun, and the second word is perform. These two words were actually, now check this out. These two words were actually used in sacrifices. And it referred to the fact that there was a beginning. The word begun right there comes from the Greek word erchomai, which means the beginning of the sacrifice. And the word complete or perfect referred to the end of the sacrifice. And if you think about a sacrifice was something that was offered up from when the offerer put the animal on the altar, that fire consumed the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was burned all the way up to the ashes, in which when it was left over, the ashes, then the ashes were disposed. God, who began a great work in you, wants to use you like a sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, because if you present your body as a living sacrifice, what does he do? He consumes you from the beginning all the way to the end. He who hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You don't realize the potential that you have. You know, it just amazes me how that God's people never realize their full potential. When I used to coach football in college, one of the things that we would say is that whenever you had a young man who what we call was a specimen, you know, he walked in and he looked like the Rock, chiseled, big, strong, and fast. And some of those guys that came in, they were big, strong, and fast, but you know what? They couldn't play. And we had an expression that we used, and the expression that we used was, potential will get you fired. That if you see all these good-looking kids out on the field and you can't win a football game with all these kids, then you don't need to be coaching, because you're not getting out of that individual the potential that's in them. I come to tell you this morning,
that we serve a God who's able to get all the potential out of you. That you might not have a lot to offer, but what you can offer, God can work with it, and God can develop it, and God can make you what he wants you to be. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We are God's workmanship. That word workmanship comes from the Greek word poema. And what it means is that you are God's poem. You are a poem that is written, that is designed by God. And God has, just like that diamond, I'm going to get into this thing next week because this concept of the diamond is powerful. But God sees the finished product. God sees you as that gem. God sees you as that glistening diamond. You are his workmanship. And I'm here to tell you today that God don't make any junk. If you are here today and you think that, well, I'm worthless, I'm not worth this, I'm not good enough to do this, God doesn't make any junk. You are God's poem, that God has written you to be a beautiful poem, and that he wants you to sing that song. He wants you to reflect the glory that he has written you to be. You are God's poem. God sees the finished product. Paul said, "He that hath begun a good work in you," he's not going to stop. He's going to keep on working on you until the day of Jesus Christ. Or I like the song that I used to hear the kids sing. And the song went something like this: "I am a promise. I am a possibility. I am a promise with a capital P. I am a great big bundle of potentiality. And I am learning to hear God's voice. And I am learning to make the right choice. I am a promise to be anything God wants me to be. I can go anywhere he wants me to go. I can be anything he wants me to be. I can climb the high mountains. I can cross the wide sea. I'm a great big promise, you see." Are you a promise today? Do you realize what God has invested in you? God looked at William Raymond Glaze and saw a knucklehead growing up in Braddock, not concerned about the things of God, only concerned about himself. But what did God see? God saw a preacher. God saw a pastor of a church. God saw a Bible teacher. And God went to work on this individual. And as God worked on me, God made me what it was that he wanted me to be. What is it that God wants you to be? Somebody here might say today, "Well, I don't have any potential." Well, let me ask you this question. You got a sound mind, you got your health and strength, and you got 24 hours in the day. You can be something great for God. You can do something that, well, God will unleash his power within you to make a difference. I was watching a news special the other day of this guy who was playing football, and he had no legs. I don't know if anybody saw that. Guy had no legs, and he was playing football, defensive line. He was getting blocked, but he was making tackles too. You can't tell that guy that there's something he can't do. He realized that there was potential. Even with no legs, he realized that he had some potential. What is your potential today? Man, God, and you know what? And let me say this, because, you know, sometimes I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble when I make this comment, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it anyways. I always say, well, let me talk to the young people. Let me talk to the older people. Now, see, some of the older people here, they just want to, you just want to sit out your days, and you want to go somewhere. Oh, boy, I wish I had a microphone to walk with this morning. You just want to rock away in that chair, and just all this potential that you got going to waste. You still got life in your body. You still got breath in your body. You still have the ability to be able to do something. Man, there's some potential there. You are God's workmanship. God is still at work in your life. But a lot of people are sitting down on God, and you're not letting God have anything to work with. Man, there's a lot. You know what? I just turned 52 this year, and I'm looking at, I'm already looking at 65, 70, planning what I'm going to be doing then. Yeah, I realize that, yo, my life is just starting. Somebody said that when you're 50 that you're over the hill. Well, no, life begins at 50. All the pains in the back, in the knees, in the shoulders. You know, you just now getting good. Yo, you just now getting worth something to be able to do something. Yo, these young folks out here, they haven't experienced any trials and tribulation. Young people think they got problems, I got problems. You don't have any problems. You don't have any problems, so you get up every morning and something's wrong with your back. That's when you got problems. Your little teenage problem, you know, next year you'll be in love with somebody else. And that little problem you got this year, but these back problems not going anywhere, brother. They're going to be there. So, you know, you're just now getting right for God to you. You've been. Oh, look, turn to Jeremiah. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. Verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Jeremiah said, look, I went down to the potter's house, and I had the opportunity to be able to look into the window of the potter. And as I looked into the window of the potter, I saw that he had a vessel on the wheel, and the vessel was messed up. Man, this thing was messed up. This vessel had been on drugs. This vessel had grown up in a broken home. This vessel was an outcast in society. This vessel had been in jail. But Jeremiah said, I looked at the vessel and I saw, oh, somebody hear me this morning. I looked at the vessel and I saw the master shaping it, and I saw the master molding it. And when he got done with it, it was something that was a beauty to behold. I don't care what it is that you got going on in your life. I don't care what it is that you're going through. Man, you've got all the potential in the world. You know, I look at our society today, and our society at the basic foundations are being destroyed at the core. You know, who would ever thought that, I mean, I guess some people thought it, but officials in the NBA would fix game, basketball games, in order to make money. You know, who would have thought that all this other stuff, even though many of the other things, the big stuff in the news, even though it's alleged, but who would have thought that these things would be evident or present in the leaders and in the role models of today? We even look at in our government, you know, people in high positions being questioned authority. Man, you know what? We need some folk that are going to step up to the plate. We, you know, there's some young people here today. Man, God, we need some young people that are going to say, look, I'm going to be that vessel to go into politics. I'm going to make a difference. I'm just sick and tired of what's going on in the world today. And I want to stand for righteousness. I want to be there and I want to make a difference. I'm going to let God mold me and shape me into a lawyer, into a politician. I'm going to let God mold, and you know, thank God for teachers today. You know, people, trying to get out of teaching. You know, they say, You know, there's one thing that I love about being a pastor is standing up here preaching. Now, the only thing I got to worry about on Sunday morning is the nodding saints. You know, that's the only issue I got to worry about. But, you know, when you look at me standing up here, for the most part, I don't have to call the ushers and say, look, can you make so-and-so stop talking back there? I don't have to call the ushers and say, can you make them stop hitting each other? You know, but teachers, man, you see, I mean, I study hard, and I get excited about standing up here and delivering the word of God, and I don't have to deal with, for the most part, discipline problems. But, you know, I'd hate to be a teacher that had to stand up and not only prepare to teach, but then have to deal with discipline problems while I'm teaching. And that's why a lot of teachers are getting frustrated today. That's why a lot of teachers are stepping away from the profession. But you know what? We need some people that will let God mold them and shape them into a teacher, into one that's going to go out and to make a difference in the world. And this is what Jeremiah is saying. Look, if you will just allow yourself to be on the wheel, God can make something out of your life. God can see the potential in you, and God can bring it out. Man, there's no way in the world, no way in the world I would have ever grown up on the streets, grown up in all type of foolishness and sin. There's no way in the world I would have ever thought that I was going to be able to get a doctorate degree. You know what? I'll be honest with you. I never thought I was going to finish college. The first year in college, I flunked out. I had a 0.017 or something like that. I didn't pass one class. I think I got a F plus or something. I flunked out. But you know what? When I got saved and I gave my heart to God, man, God helped me to be able to get into the books and understand. God helped me and motivated me because he knew that he was pounding on the clay. He knew that he was pressing the clay. He knew that he was shaping the clay. And when I got finished with college, I had no desire to even go get a master's degree. And next thing I know, opportunity for a master's degree came my way. And next thing I know, I was enrolled. Man, that was Pastor Bill Glaze. And then when opportunity came up to work for a doctorate, man, nothing but God. But you know what? When I was out there on the street, when I was lost and undone without God and his son, God saw this brother standing in the pulpit today. God saw that. And all God said, look, I just got to get you from there to here. And if some of you sitting out there today, and God is saying, I'm trying to move you now. I'm trying to get you from where you're at. Man, I've got something great planned for your life. You know, and you might be marred. You know, I think of all the young ladies, the potential of all the young ladies before they had children. And then they had children out of wedlock. But you know what? I'm here to tell you today that God still has you on the wheel. God, you might be marred and you might be broken, but God will put you on the wheel and God will shape you, and you can still bring out all the potential that God has in you. I heard this interesting story about this teacup, and there was a couple that were on their anniversary, and they were celebrating 25 years, and they went to this little china shop, and they saw this teacup, and they were holding the teacup in their hand, and the teacup began to speak to them. Well, what did the teacup say? The teacup said this: you don't understand.
Thank you for joining us today on a conclusion of A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Diamond in the Rough, Part 1. Or call us at 877 877- 831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.